This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Now, from one end of the scale, David Quinn talking about the fact that we're at a critical stage when it comes to childbirth. We're also at a critical stage, too, when it comes to retirement, because many people now are living longer. The average age of a man, by the way, is 81. A woman is 82. They're only 1 year ahead of us, lads. We're all right. And that's because of, obviously, modern medicine and the way we're able to deal with problems. So we are living longer, and probably in the next 100 years, we will live to 90 quite healthily. And I remember many, many years ago, I was in Florida, and there was a guy at the checkout packing the bags. And he was very old. And I started chatting to him. He was a war veteran. And he told me he was 93 years of age. And he said, and I said, I'm just curious, are you working because you have to? And he says, no, not at all. He said, I work 3 days a week here. He said, because I love working. He said, my wife died some years ago. And he says, I can get out. I get to meet people like you. And he said, we can have a little chat. And he says, on top of that as well, I get healthcare as well. That Walmart, the company, or Publix, or wherever it was he was working for, give him a free healthcare package as well. And he's not just doing it for that reason, but he's doing it because he wants to do it. Now, as of from the 1st of July 2025, the Employment Contractual Retirement Ages Bill 2025 will have progressed, or has progressed, to the committee stage of the Dáil. What does that mean? God only knows. We'll find out in a second. But the question I want to ask you today is, should we have a compulsory retirement age? Because we do currently at the moment. At the end of your 65th year, at 66 and before your birthday, you have to retire, particularly if you work in the public sector. And also if you work in the private sector and you're in an employment contract, it's most likely stipulated in your contract. If you don't have a contract, well, then you're free to keep doing what you're doing. And also if you're self-employed, you can work till you're 100 if you like. It's all down to you. But generally speaking, the majority of people in this country are, you know, obliged by either contract or the fact they work for a public sector. In a public sector job, the 600,000 people that work in there, they're obliged to leave work before their 66th birthday. So should we get rid of that? Let me know what you think. There's pros and there's cons, because one of the cons, I suppose, people will turn around and say, well, hold on a second. You know, we need people to retire so we can make those positions available for younger people coming into the job market. That's true. But that would balance out after about 10 or 15 years, because those people are eventually going to leave or die eventually. Like, people don't live forever. So let me know what you think. The number is 085 100 2255 if you want to send us a quick message on WhatsApp. I'm going to talk to Darren Brennan, who's a Senior Associate and Employment Law Specialist at Mason Hayes & Curran, and he joins me on the line. Darren, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, and hello to your listeners as well, and thanks so much for having me on. As you said, so my name is Darren, and I work in the Employment Department of Mason Hayes & Curran, and look, I'm delighted to be on with you today to talk about this topic.
I mean, it is a very interesting one, isn't it? Because it's a changing world, Darren, where people want to work longer in a lot of cases, but unfortunately, either the private sector employment law contract or the public sector policies demand that they leave work before their 66th birthday. So it's difficult for people, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and as you said in your intro there, there's a very different perspective on this in different countries. So the US, you'll see when you're out and about, it's a very different perspective than we have in Europe. And this is an issue, like, particularly that's important to Europe, and it's sort of led by European law a little bit as well. And European society and how people are living longer, and also people want to work longer as well. So that's their own choice as well, quite often, that they want to work longer, or perhaps that they need to work longer too. And look, there's a really important balance here, as there is with everything in employment law, between the employees and the employers. And from what I can see with this government, the minister, Mr. Burke, and the government itself seem to be taking this issue very seriously. And it's one that they're eager to pass through, from what I can glean from the various committees and debates on this topic so far. Mm-hmm. And look, as you know yourself now, this has been a topic for the last few elections as well, and one that's always a hot debate between either this or the pension age.
Okay, so let's talk about this Employment Contractual Retirement Age Bill 2025. So it's progressed, yep, as of from the 1st of July this year, it progressed to the committee stage of the Dáil. Looks likely that it might pass. So what does that mean for people when this passes? Does that mean that I can turn around to my employer at 65 years of age, send him a letter saying, listen, I'm coming up to my 66th birthday, I don't want to retire, thanks very much?
Yeah, look, I'll give you a wee bit of context first, if that helps now on the lay of the land legally here on this. So, and there's a bit of a difference between private and public in a certain respect. So what happened in 2018 was there was a Public Service Superannuation Act, it was called, 2018. And what that did was that it increased the age to 70 for compulsory retirement for the majority of public service. So that's not for everyone. So it's the majority of public servants recruited before the 1st of April 2004. So there are exceptions there, such as Gardaí, the Defence Forces, etc. But for the majority of public servants, it's the age of 70 there. So that's why it's a little bit different now. So what this one is proposing is it's proposing to balance it up to the state pension age, which is 66 currently. So it's a wee bit different between private and public. And I'll get on to that now in a wee minute. And where this all came about from was there was a code of practice in London Working, which is sort of a document that guides employers on how to do this. And we at Masonage in turn, we advise employees and employers. And look, that's a document that we work through as well quite often with our clients, the code of practice. Following that, then, in 2021, there was a report on the Commission of Pensions. And this is where this legislation has come from. So what appeared to happen was there was a gap between the age where most people had traditionally had a contractual retirement date of 65 and now where the pension age is 66. So this used to always balance up. It was 65, and that's sort of when both events would happen. And now the pension age is 66. So this is where this legislation comes around from then. And look, simply what the legislation is proposing, and as you say, so it's gone to third stage. Third stage was quite a short debate because the committee hadn't met before that. So it's met, and it's led by James O'Connor, I think, is the chair of it. So it met there recently. It had the minister in front of it, but it was a really short debate about this legislation. So it's gone to third stage now, and it still has a wee bit to go. So we and there's a summer break now, obviously. So we'll just keep an eye on it and see how it progresses in their octaves as well. Mm-hmm. But for now, anyway, so what it says at the moment is, so the lay of the land legally is that mandatory retirement ages are still possible. Okay, and they've been challenged a lot as well on discrimination grounds, etc.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it ageist? It kind of sounds ageist, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's been challenged as well. So sometimes I'll get on to where and again, it's this balance between, and as you said as well, it's a balance between employers and employees and new employees as well, and fairness. So there's a whole balance here to be made. And the WRC goes through this and it looks at challenges and claims as well, and some are upheld and some are not. And quite often the what it's upheld on is discrimination, age discrimination grounds, like you said there now. And so mandatory retirement is still possible in the contract. And 2024, even as early as that, there's been a Supreme Court decision on that, which ruled that employers can continue to set the age, but they must have the purpose of fulfilling a legitimate goal of that employer, right? Which is really important. And that's the bit that you mentioned there as well. So look, that can be intergenerational fairness. It can be health and safety issues. It's
professional. Health and safety would be the main one, wouldn't it, I suppose? Because if an employer has an obligation to keep somebody on, if this goes through all stages, an employer has an obligation to keep somebody on. So let's say Johnny decides, you know, I'm not retiring at 66 or 70, whichever the case may be, and I want to stay on, I feel okay. And then his employer is looking at him going, well, he can't really walk very well anymore, so we can't have him doing X. He can't lift things really anymore because his back is bad, so we can't have him doing Y. And, you know, really, he's only at, you know, a third of the capacity he used to be at when he was 36 and working here. We'd rather replace him with somebody new at 25 years of age, you know, and get a bang for a buck. So from an employer's point of view, we have to give them some rights too, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what I suppose the legislation today, and particularly the case law then, has seen to do is to find out where that balance is. And look, the WRC goes through that on a regular basis. We, as I said, we advise our clients on that in Masonage and Kern on a regular basis on this topic as well. And as you say, it's always about trying to achieve that fairness and that balance. And look, most employers are good at that as well. And most of the time, employees and employers work together on this. What can be done at the minute often is if you're coming near that retirement age, you might go on a fixed term contract for another period. That's quite often what's done as well.
I'll go back to maybe a 3-day week or something like that, or
there's lots of ways. And often now what we would see is that employers and employees work together quite constructively on these issues as well. It's while there are many cases in the WRC, it's rare, I suppose, as well, that the majority of issues won't go that far. And they will be sorted between reasonable employees and reasonable employers. But look, as you say then, so the purpose of this new legislation and why this is a topic of public debate at the moment is what this report will do is, so many of the contracts at the minute are 65. So a lot of contracts should still have that old 65 age limit in it. And what this will do now is that it gives employees the opportunity, if this legislation is passed, it would give employees the opportunity to make a request to their employers that they won't accept the retirement date of 65 and that they'll go to the state pension age of 66 instead. So then what the employer can do is they have to give a reasoned right of reply. And again, that goes back to that issue about objectively, reasonably justified by the legitimate aim. That's those issues that I spoke about a wee while ago there.
Yeah, and so it does mention as well, if the employer fails to respond, that may result in a criminal penalty and prevent the forced retirement. So are we, because somebody mentioned to me in relation to this, that this law then could be changed in the future and expanded and expanded and expanded, because that would suit the government, particularly what we were talking about in our first topic today with David Quinn, that we're now heading into a stage where our population is getting older and older and older. And over the next 50 years, we could have double the amount of people claiming pensions in this country at the rate things are going, because we're just not having enough children anymore. That's right across Europe. So could we get to a stage where we abolish or completely abolish retirement ages altogether and encourage people to keep working until the day they die?
Well, look, I suppose it's not for me to direct how the government should act, but it's something that's common throughout Europe now. We're seeing that a lot more throughout different European countries that are changing the rules here. And the UK, for example, is a very different ballgame. So for us, look, I suppose it's one step at a time, maybe in that respect. And again, it's that really important issue about balance and fairness between the employee and the employer, and to allow the whole system to work as it should work, I suppose. So I think that's what the spirit of the legislation is trying to do. It's trying to find that fairness and that balance between employees and employers. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to find that sweet spot where that will happen. And look, you know, from our perspective, what we're saying at the minute is, look, it's only proposed legislation still. It's only a bill. But what we're saying to our clients, whether they're employees or employers, is look, just to prepare yourself for this. So for employers, you know, the tips that they can be doing now is reviewing their policies and contracts. They can be reviewing their current systems, reviewing what, you know, their people that are coming near that retirement age, and all of those various objective reasons that they perhaps have given in the past, and to see if those are still legitimate or not. Mm. So I suppose that's what we're saying to our clients at the minute. It's just prepare now without looking, I suppose, like you're saying about what's going to happen in a few years' time. The important piece now is this is the legislation that's in front of us, and it doesn't look like it's going to go any further than it is. So it's to prepare for that now.
All right, well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And if employers or employees are listening, they want more advice, of course, you can contact Mason Hayes and Curran. Darren Brennan, thank you very much indeed. Senior Associate and Employment Law Specialist, thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Niall, and thanks to your listeners as well. Bye-bye.
Okay, we want to get your opinion as well, by the way. I'm 62, coming on 62 in September. I think I'm going to be like Pat Kenny. I'll be still on the air in my late 70s because I don't feel I'd want to stop talking to people at 65 just because, or 66, just because that happens to be my birthday. Well, it's not my contract currently at the moment that I have to retire at any particular age, by the way. And it generally isn't when it comes to presenters on radio. We've all seen presenters on radios over the years have stayed on in their 60s, 70s, 80s, indeed, some of them. Provided you can still talk and provided you've still got a brain, you can still keep working. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? How are you today?
I'm good, Jackie. Look, Jackie, from a farming point of view, and I know you're in the farming industry, and from a farming point of view, this doesn't really matter because farmers will just keep farming till the day they fall down.
Correct, and it has its advantages and disadvantages in the sense at the moment that the big debate at the moment is actually succession. So, you know, farmers don't want to... They're so used to getting up in the morning. They're so used to working. It's very, very hard for them to actually retire. So from a farming perspective, I think there's a few things out there that can be done to, I won't say retire them off, but to set up partnerships with their family members or whatever. I think the most important thing from a farming perspective now, Niall, is to actually ensure that there is a proper succession. But in general, as you said, if people, in my opinion, if people want to continue to be able to work, or if they want to change their work methodology and just put down a bit and continue to work, I mean, it's very, very important that we're able to do that because it keeps the body ticking over, keeps the brain ticking over, and mm-hmm. it keeps you active.
Yeah, because I know people who retired and they didn't want to retire. One guy, a friend of mine, he used to be a guard. Now, the guards, you have to retire after 30 years, no matter what age you are, right? But he retired as a, you know, he was actually in the 60s, but he retired as a Garda Síochána. And he was bored out of his head. He played golf for a little while. And don't get me wrong, they get a good pension. So there's not, it's not necessary to go out and get another job, probably. But in saying that, you know, he was bored playing golf. He was a single man. And he was completely bored. And he said, I'd love to be back in work. He said, the camaraderie, you know, in the Garda station, having the crack with the lads. He said, I miss it all. And he said, you know, and there's more to work than just working. There's working with other people. Like, if I wasn't, you know, on the radio and doing this, you know, I'd miss talking to people. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I love talking to people.
And you're right. Yeah, and you're right. And I mean, the whole social side of it is a huge important thing as well, because, you know, once you're out there or from a farmer perspective, if you're going to the mart or you're going to the bank or you're going somewhere where there's people, you're talking on common knowledge. You're talking, you're going to the grocery, you're going doing the shopping, you're bringing the missus to the shopping or whatever. You're meeting people all of the time. Whereas if you're retired and you have no option, you're kind of stuck in a rut. And, you know, the blues do set in as well, Niall. And that's the sad part about it.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually know people that have deteriorated health-wise.
Yeah, I know. I spoke to the lads from the men's sheds going back last year.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of lads coming in, you know, from retirement age. And I suppose women have a different way of looking at things. They go to book clubs. But the men's sheds, and for a lot of men, that's a lifesaver. You know what I mean? Because they're bored and they just want to be with other lads.
Absolutely, because as you say, okay, women, men, and women are totally different in that context of socialising and getting together. But frankly, personally, I'd prefer to go to the men's shed. But anyhow,
you'd say that, Jackie.
It's good that you know the men do that, because you know I've seen some of the stuff locally here in Galway, and you know they get. They start to get a new mojo and they get very creative and they make lovely stuff, like, you know. And it's all important. Like I said, it's keeping the body, it's keeping the brain, it's integrating with other people, you're socialising.
But should we abolish the retirement age? I mean, you heard, you know, Darren a few minutes ago talking about this kind of balance between lifestyle and employment law, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, realistically, it is ageism to turn around to somebody who might be fit as a fiddle at 65 years of age and say, listen, you've only got a year to go till your 66th birthday. See you now. Do you know what I mean? It is kind of ageism, because as I said, in America, when you go over to, and I'm sure lots of people have been to, you know, to Florida and places like that, the amount of older people working, particularly in retail or in Disney and the theme parks and all that, like people in their 80s and 90s. And there doesn't seem to be that level of ageism that we have here. You know, once you're over 65 here, you're done. That's it. No one's going to want you.
Oh, yeah. You're sent out to the paddock to graze, basically.
Yeah.
But it's to find, I suppose, Niall, it's to find a happy medium, because you will have people that will want to retire as well. And, you know.
Oh, that's fine if you want to. Maybe it should be available to if you want to.
So I think maybe some sort of a happy medium where people that want to now, and I suppose when your researcher came on this morning with the topic, and I sort of said, okay, put myself in that position. Would I want to retire? No, I wouldn't want to retire. I'd want to keep going.
Well, here's my plan. I'm the leader of the country, right? And here would be my plan. I would say to people at 66, you can keep your pension at 66 and you can work up to 22 or 30 hours a week without being penalised in your pension. Which means it's a win-win for the government. Okay, they still have to pay the pension out. But in saying that, they'll have a person who's probably going to be paying a bit of tax as well. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. And let them work. Let them keep working if they want to.
Yeah, let them keep the work. But in saying the government paying it out, actually, that's the people that have been paying it in for all the years of their working life.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the government actually paying back. It's the people getting back what they put into it all their working lives. And
Here's the downside. And I'm going to give you the argument against allowing that, right, and abolishing it. The argument is that when somebody's working in the civil service, for example, let's say they work from the Department of Social Protection, and they're sitting there at a desk answering phones all day or whatever it is they do, and they hit 66 years of age, and they say, I want to stay in this job. I'm a widow. I have nobody else here. I love my job. I love the people here. I'm staying here. So they stay there till they're nearly 80 years of age, let's just say, for argument's sake. Well, that then, for the next 15 years, stops a young person getting that job. And that's the argument against it, isn't it? That we're not moving people out to replace it with younger people and those opportunities.
It is. But as I said to you, Niall, I think it's an agenda that needs to be thrown out there and totally discussed, because if you look at the active age retirement group, at a national level and also at regional and county levels, they're very, very active people, and they now have got a little bit of extra status
to actually be able to speak up for themselves and to put stuff there in relation to implementation at government table. And I think that's very, very important. I think we as a people have to take ownership of our own lives. It's a catch-22. Of course it's a catch-22. But I think at the end of the day, there should be a mixed balance. I mean, we're not a silly country. We're a very highly educated country. We're a very hard-working country. And, you know, people, if they want the choice of working further on into their senior years, lovely, let them do that. But if you have, as you say, in the civil service situation, and that is kind of... That is kind of ring fenced, if you like, in that
it's policy.
Context.
Yes, it's policy. Yeah,
it's policy and procedure, and there's no way, real way around that. But if they could be maybe eased out, given a period of time to ease out and bring a young person in or a younger person in and training or whatever, there's all those different things that can be looked at.
Well, hang on. Let's get an old boy on here, Morris. Morris, hi. How are you? An old pensioner.
How are you doing, Niall?
An old granddad and a pensioner. Yeah, that's you, Morris, isn't it?
I'm returning next March at 65, and I can't wait because, like I said, I've spent 44 years doing the job. But I'll give you one example, right? I have a sister who's 82. This is just her example. Sheila was born, she's 82 today, right? I go for coffee with her every Saturday. She was born in 1943, right? She got her first job in 1957 at 14. In 19, at 76 years of age, she retired. That was 62 years
later. What was she doing at 76 that she retired? What was she doing?
I got her a job on a bus as a carer for special needs children.
Oh, okay.
Well, all her life she'd been a seamstress, working in clothes factories at 14. She got her first job when she was 14 in 1957. And then when she got married, she got an industrial machine into her home, and she was a home worker. So she never stopped working.
Yeah.
Okay. So at 76, when they said, look, finally, you have to go, she said to me, I felt so useless because I was doing nothing anymore. I said, Sheila, you forgot about your time, me time. What's that? She only felt useful if she was working.
Yeah, we're kind of socially conditioned to think we should be working, aren't we? We're socially conditioned that way.
I think so. But I heard a great saying a few years ago off a work colleague of mine, when the company were pressurizing us to get more productivity hours and think of the company and don't be thinking of money and raises and all this. And he turned around and he said to them, listen, you people, I work to live. I don't live to work.
Yeah.
And their fucking jaws hit the floor. Right?
Yeah.
So when I come out now in March, when I hit 65, right? And I've gone off already and I've bought 3 bikes. I used to love cycling when I was younger. I bought a load of fishing gear. I went a lot of fishing when I was younger before I got married.
And but will you get bored cycling around and fishing in lakes? Will you get bored of that after a while?
No, I won't, because I have 3 grandchildren grown up in London and I can hop a Ryanair flight for 20 quid and go and visit them.
But I don't know exactly what you do for a living, Morris. I know you travel a lot. But I'm assuming you work with other people too. Other lads. So will you miss all their company? Will you miss doing what you do, the satisfaction of your job? Will you miss all that?
To be honest with you, no, because I've done it for 44 years, and I'll tell you why. I have to draw a distinction between my friends and my work colleagues. Mm. Are you with me?
Yeah, no, I am. Yeah,
my work colleagues can't become my all of my life, you know? Granted, I'll have a party and I'll say goodbye. I'll keep in touch with some. There's others I probably won't see again. But you have to distinguish between your friends and your work colleagues. There is a gap. And if you run to one or much or the other, you know, it will cause you problems. But why would I get bored after I've had the good health to work all my life and provide for my family? And like my mother said to me a long time ago, she reared 10 of us. And by the way, just to let you know, I've worked in outdoor advertising for the last 44 years. I drive around Dublin and I put up advertisements all
those
over.
Those posters, the big posters. Dublin.
Yeah, posters, yeah, on the bus shelters, outdoor advertising, right? Mm. And my mother told me a long time ago, she said, never forget one thing, son. And you're my youngest son out of the 10 children I brought into the world. The richest man in the world is the man that can go to work every day and provide for his family. What have you done all your life?
Yeah.
Provided for your family. What have I done all my life? What's Jackie done all her life? Any man or woman in this country. And they are the richest. You can't buy that. So if I can step away from all that, and I've paid 44 years of tax into the system, and I get me contributory old age pension and my private pensions, I'll have enough money to go off and do what I can afford to do. And I'm not a burden on anybody. And I met a guy yesterday, Niall, a friend of Carol's family, right? And he took early retirement as a teacher. And he says, the last 3 years have been the best years of my life. I am living the life because I worked hard, I took the lump, I got out, and I'm comfortable, and I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm really enjoying it. So, you know, you have to make your own happy.
Because people have often said to me, what would you do if you won the lottery tomorrow? If you, like, won 120 million or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, would you bother doing the radio anymore? Would you bother doing your podcast? Would you bother doing...
Of course I would.
I probably still would do something. Yeah, I'd have to.
Yeah, because it's in your DNA.
Yeah, but the only good thing is I wouldn't be under pressure to do it. You know what I mean? Whereas now I have to do it for a living. But I wouldn't be under pressure to do it. Yeah. And I think Jackie would be the same as well. I think Jackie would continue. Jackie, you continue. If you won the lottery tomorrow, would you continue working?
I would continue working because I think, as I said to you, Niall, my brain, if my brain stops for a few minutes, I'm thinking and I'm working and I'm looking around me and I say, okay, what's next now? And, you know, as I said to you earlier on, it's really up to each individual and that there should be a choice there for people. I mean, what Morris is saying there, I can completely understand. Mm. And I think I sort of touched that earlier. But I think there should be a choice. I think that's the most important thing because everybody's opinion is different. Would I stop work? No, I wouldn't. What would I do with the 120 million? Well, I think a lot of things would change
a lot of things, yeah. That's a whole other different discussion as to what you do with the money. Do me a favour, Jackie, stay with me for a second. Morris, listen, thank you very much indeed. Good luck with the retirement.
No, just before I go, can I just say, I'd like to wish condolences to Judge Frank Caprio in Rhode Island, the good judge who used to do the court cases.
Oh, okay.
He passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He's a famous judge in Providence, U.S. Oh, listen, look him up. He's just justice at Providence in America, and he was really a genuine, empathic, beautiful man, and he took leniency on people, and he passed away today, and he was a good man, so best of wishes to him and his family. Okay?
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Morris. I got to take a quick short break. I'm going to come back with Jackie and also with Nuala and Gladys as well.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.